We are now.
And welcome to the Hot Flash, the premier podcast for the perimenopausal. You're joined by your host, Mrs. Wook, and my exceptionally gorgeous friend,
Mrs. Berry.
And Mrs. Berry, you're doing something really, really brave today. What are you doing?
Got the fedubitas out.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Mrs. Berry has never been a fan of...
I've never been a fan of a sleeveless top.
Of the sleeveless top. And I am a fan of the sleeveless top.
And we're talking since like early primary that I became very self-conscious about my upper arms. Yeah, I mean, you know, because let's just pick a random part of the body.
But and you can't get to the age of 47 and live in Australia and not just get the...
I know. Get the fedubitas out. I know.
The strapped hams. The fedubitas.
The fedubitas. The bingo wings.
You get to a point that...
Tuckshock arms.
It's actually function over form.
Yes. And I also did it... I'm wearing a new little summer frock.
I know. So it's just very fetching.
It's just a little frock. It's sleeveless. It's got a little gather under the boobs, you know, and then just above the knee.
You're taking a fashion risk.
It's light. And I bought two of them because I saw it and I went, that's going to be my summer uniform.
But because the last time you bought something online wasn't such a success.
Was not such a success. But it will be a success for someone who goes thrift shopping and finds it in the local charity shop. It will fit perfectly and look beautiful.
And welcome to the Hot Flush. Thank you all to our new listeners. You're very much appreciated.
Yes. And we do apologise that today's episode is coming out a bit late. Like it's coming... We're recording it on the Monday.
We tried on Saturday. We tried on Sunday. Yeah. I had a bit of a big weekend.
Wigsy had a big weekend and I just had a flat weekend that was quite, even though I was flat, there was just lots of stuff that then took up time. You know, when you just...
And we were trying to snatch an hour here or an hour there.
And it doesn't work when we do that.
No, and then I said, let's just do Monday.
Let's do Monday.
So,
and
welcome.
It's quite nice because the kids are back at school.
Oh, my God. I've never been so happy.
The house is quiet.
I'm clean.
Clean?
Oh,
I know.
I know. So
we did actually lovely. We did actually retire. We had
bedtime.
We had the bed, what do we call it? The bed debrief?
Yeah.
We haven't actually done a bed debrief for a
while.
For
a long time. So when she came in, I went, no, I can't go down. Come up.
And come upstairs.
We lay in my fresh bedroom on the fresh new sheets, linen sage.
Doors open.
Breeze coming through. Ugh. And then I just bitched and whinged.
And we bitched and whinged. And then we both looked at each other and went, oh my God, I feel so much better.
Yeah, I know. It's like the
best. Are each other's drug.
We are. And I hope we are yours as well. And we've just got a lovely message from a new listener saying that they've gone to the doctor today for the first time, and not just to get a skin check, but just to say, I think I might be perimenopausal. Isn't that just the best?
God, it makes me happy.
It makes me so happy.
Because misery loves company.
So I went out on Friday to lunch with two scallywag friends of mine. And we got accidentally drunk.
Oh, that's the best. You see, they're the best times.
And I only put it out the day before. I said, do you guys want to have lunch tomorrow? It's like it's the end of school holidays. I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
So Uber Kate and Mrs. Finlayson came down, went to the botanist. And honestly, I've never laughed and cried, mind you, cried. Never laughed and cried so much. And then we came back home. And Mr. Wu came through the back door at about 5 o'clock and we were stuck into the gins by that stage and he's gone, oh God.
Yeah.
Oh. This just reminds me of like when we were in our 20s, like he would come home and the house would be full of girls drinking gin. And then we decided to relive our Bathurst University days by putting on 1992's Top 10 and karaoke. And
what
then,
was in that?
Oh, I can't remember now.
No.
But then I decided to do the worm. And
you know that nothing good comes of that now, Mrs. Wook.
And then I pinched a nerve in my neck. So the whole Saturday was spent complaining and I was very unproductive because Saturdays are my productive days.
Oh.
And yeah, it really, really hurt, Kim. I really hurt my neck.
That is, but how much fun is that though?
Oh, it was so worth it.
And you just need that. Don't you think every now and then that pressure valve needs to be released?
Oh, of just behaving like a total idiot.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know, we're all tucked in bed by 8:30, mind you.
Yeah.
My kids were rolling their eyes right out the door because they're like, oh, mum.
So 1992, you say?
Yeah. What have we got?
All right, hang on. It's just, you know.
I think there was a bit of Rick Astley involved.
Okay.
I think there was a lot of techno starting to come out.
Oh, well, there was Achy Breaky Heart.
We didn't do that one.
Would I Lie to You?
Yeah, we did that one. That was the one.
Damn!
I wish I was your lover. See, that was when music was music.
Please Don't Go.
Please don't go.
Don't go.
Oh, such fond memories of the Bathurst Leagues Club.
Oh, hang on. So this is the Billboard's top 100 songs of 1992. So this is the end of the, right? End of the Road, Boys to Men.
Oh.
Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back. Yes, you can see why I did my neck.
Jump, Crisscross. Oh, Save the Best Till Last, Vanessa Williams.
She was great.
Baby, 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 TLC. Oh, come on. Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
So, yeah, My Lovin', You're Never Gonna Get It on Vogue.
You're Never Gonna Get It, My Lovin'. I remember Zwaila singing to that.
Under the Bridge, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, I think we've done that now.
No, we've got two more. All for Love, Colour Me Bad. And Just Another Day, John Cicada.
Oh, Colour Me Bad. Tick tock when you don't stop. Oh, I want to sex you up. I used to dance at the uni bar to that.
Oh, my gosh.
I think I was all that. How was your week?
Not too bad. I do just have to – okay, last thing and then I'm putting it away.
You put the music
at
away,
number Kim. 13, I'm Too Sexy, Right Said Fred.
See, that were the golden days of music.
The golden days.
I did the worm. I did the thing where you lie on the ground and you spit around. I did – that sort of situation.
Oh, the robot?
Yeah, I did all of it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I fucked my neck.
Well, we had the resumption of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, I didn't actually see much of it.
I know.
Because the coach's wife was there with their six-month-old baby, Ivy. Let me just say, I was very restrained for about half an hour before I was just like, I need to pick her up.
Give me that.
That's enough rug time, time on the picnic rug.
I want to eat it.
Give that baby to me.
I want to sniff it and eat it.
And then I just walked around with her and I got to pat nappy butt and I got to sniff a baby's head for hours, to an hour and a half. And I got that wee little baby to sleep on my chest and, oh, my God, I was so happy.
Oh, what is it about a newborn?
And do you know what? Like on Saturday night, I was – I could still feel like it was like you've had a
did
massage.
Did you want to go and pick up one of your kids and rock them back and forth for a bit?
But I still could feel how much it had affected just my chakras or something. Like it was like a real organic.
I just felt totally
at peace and calm, and it was really lovely. Oh, I was still very flat. I had a very flat weekend.
Yeah.
And so that was baseball. I can't even remember what happened on Saturday night. I think I went to bed at like.
Oh my God. So 8. Saturday afternoon, after I'd whinged about my neck all day, Mr. Wook said, "Come on, we're going on a date." And I was like,
"Oh, bless him.
God, really?" So we went down to there's a park near us called Milson's Park and it's absolutely
beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's got roses and a community garden and dogs and kids and it's like, ugh. So I went down there begrudgingly because he wanted some alone time. And
and there were 16 boys in your house.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I'm so glad school's back, let me just tell you. So we got down there and he pulled out of his little man basket like a little Ziploc bag of ice, a Ziploc bag of lemon, a little bottle of gin, a little bottle of tonic, and he made us a cocktail. And then we sat on the bench like old people do.
Yep.
And we complained about things. So it was actually really nice.
That's hashtag romance right there.
It's lovely.
It is.
It's lovely.
Yep. I just think you snatch those moments wherever you find them.
And you don't want to do it because you can be fucked. But once you're there, you're like, this is really nice.
Yeah.
And I really like you.
Yeah, I know. You really put thought into that and you planned it. And you planned it to do something special with me.
And I've been a total bitch all day because I put my neck out because I did the worm last night when I was drunk with my friends in my kitchen.
But can I just say, one day of whinging about your neck does not make up for the 6 months of whinging about his foot.
Yeah, I did actually point that out to him as well. But anyway, after I went out to lunch with my girlfriends, and we did a walk around that park.
Yes.
To try and sober up a little bit. We came across a group at the park, and I was like, what the fresh devil is this? Because there were all these, like, there were probably 24 people, and they were sitting around.
Oh, cult.
They were all cult. On the piss.
Oh.
There was 800 dogs. So I've gone up and said, what is it? Like, is this some sort of, like,
cult?
You know, cult. And they said, no, we're the local dog and grog group.
Shut up.
I went, excusez-moi.
Hello, have you met me?
And they said, like, you know, you're welcome, sit down, have a glass of wine. I said, no, I won't. I said, but next week, can I bring my dog and grog? And they went, yes. So they're such an eccentric group, and I am in with the dog and grogs.
The dog and grog.
And not only that.
Oh, my God.
I've got my neighbour coming with me and my father-in-law as well.
Oh, that is the best.
Talk about community spirit.
Oh, community. See what I did there? The jokes, they don't write themselves.
That's
the best thing ever. Dog and grog. Talk about how you make it, like, for one part of the community, you've forged a community. The community garden does it for another group.
Yeah.
The cults do it for another group.
The churches do it for another group.
The churches do it.
And the dog and grogs. So
I tell you what, they're doing it right in this little neck of white privilege land.
I'm very much enjoying living here.
So then my Sunday, Grovy has been a bit flat. Yeah. He's my youngest, and I'm very conscious of, just with all of my boys, of their mental health, just because of my hereditary predilection, and also the fact that I think their father has quite some, you know, ongoing untreated depression that he would never acknowledge. So anyway.
We just acknowledged it for you, Chef.
Yeah. And so I've sort of, you know, we've been talking about things. Anyway, he's been really into American barbecue, like watching, there's been a couple of Netflix series about it and competitions, and you know, he's been watching lots of YouTube videos. So we went on Sunday up to Terry Hills to barbecue in the hills, hashtag not sponsored, which is like a Weber barbecue spot, like shop.
Display center.
Yeah. Right. Next to with a adjoining door into the mowers. There's a whole another mower store.
You do the best things.
It was just, I was just like, this is next level. Anyway, you can get these little smoker boxes for your Weber Q. So we did that. We got a few different types of wood, and we got a few, they had like a whole range of rubs and stuff, which of course we got against my, like, I have to just go, no, that's fine. Because I'm like, you make your own rub. Anyway, so we did that. And then we went home and we did blind testings of the three different rubs we got, which ones we liked. Oh, we went via Aldi because our friend and idol dad, Chris, he recommended the ribs from Aldi. He said they're really good, and I've got them a few times. They've been amazing.
Hashtag not sponsored. Bastards.
And so then we did this whole process that he'd watched on someone's video, and we made ribs, and then he went upstairs to get Felix once they were cooked to come down and try them, and then we literally all stood at the bench and just, like,
oh, such a lovely
ate
mom.
Two racks of ribs. And he just it was so lovely. He was so anxious about it. Like, you know, do you think they'll be done? And I've put the meat thermometer in, and it's saying that it's already at that temperature. And it was just great. It was just great. And then I had my brother and niece over last night, and we did birthday dinner for Mum, whose birthday was last week. And I did my 7-hour roast lamb.
Yeah, that looked fucking good.
Oh, my God. And do you know, none left. Like, bones sucked dry.
Yeah.
Like, the whole lamb, the whole leg of lamb, all of it just gone.
Good.
Anyway, so that was my weekend. And then I woke up today and I felt like I'd been hit by a Sherman tank. And I was like, I am, like, energy level is subterranean.
What do you think I'm drinking Barocca right now? I've had 45 coffees. I'm done.
I know.
I'm so sick of being tired.
And I was like, I need to – and I watered all my plants. I did a couple of loads of washing. And then I was like, I had a little sleep for an hour. Went back to bed from 9:30 to 10:30. Got up, got ready, and came – because I was like, I need to see Kate. We need to do this because it will pep us both up.
Absolutely. And it has.
And here we are. And here now apparently the New South Wales government is
fucked.
About to go down in a flaming
and
blaze of glory.
Before we started recording, we got really involved because Gladys not been a very good. The people don't really care that she's fucked someone. Like, that's her business.
No, no, but I think they were both. It wasn't like, I don't. She's not married, is she? I don't think she's married. No, she's not, like, she had a relationship.
She does with her vajayjay is her, is oh, yeah, her business.
But she's had like a 5-year relationship with this guy. And so I don't care who you are. To end a 5-year relationship like last month or something before the ICAC thing started and she went, holy fuck balls, like you're going down. Like I just can't, I need to separate from you. So imagine what just as a human is going on in her body and her mind and her heart.
And at this time as well, like what a clusterfuck.
You're not with someone for 5 years if you don't like them
yeah.
or love them.
Yeah, he's
and then meanwhile,
shonky bastard.
Meanwhile, fucking like $330 million land deals out in the Western, yeah. you know, the
well,
Western Sydney airport.
Her and Perrottet, they're both as crooked as a dog's back.
Are right? they? Because yes. I don't know Perrottet at all.
Yes.
We're just saying that that's an opinion, not
that's
like.
An opinion, not a fact.
Yes. And completely un. I don't know what.
Okay. So speaking of what's on the list besides corrupt politicians.
Yeah.
I had a situation. This week, and we always talk about slow walkers, right? And like, but there's slow walkers, and then there's slow, stupid fucking walkers that walk in front of you. So when you go to take over left, they go left.
Oh,
and I swear to God, if someone had seen me walking down the street of North Sydney the other day, and they would have seen the steam coming out of my ears because I was walking behind this woman who was like. La 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 dee dee da.
On a phone?
But if you're going to be like that, yeah, earphones in, go to the left. Move to the left.
Yes.
So that's me who is walking with purpose.
Yes.
And my mum, I love you, Chris. You don't walk with purpose and it's very irritating.
Right. Yes, you need to walk with purpose and you need to
know where you're going.
And people don't respect the stay to the left. So when you get on an elevator, stay to the left. And if you're with your partner and you want to canoodle, the partner stands in front or behind you. You do not block the whole thing. If you have lots of bags, you put them in front of you.
Not beside you.
Yeah.
You fuckwits.
Wow.
I know.
I know, we tapped a vein there, didn't we?
I know.
I can't stand slow walkers or groups of people who walk like three or four across.
Meanderers.
Yeah. Amblers.
I hate them.
Yeah. Yeah, Oscar's an ambler, unless he's got a purpose, at which case, like, he'll just mow you down.
Oh, and the other thing that's on the list.
Yes.
Birds.
Oh.
And I'm normally a bird fancier.
You're a nature lover.
I'm a nature lover. But I tell you what, there is this bottle brush out the front of my house, first world problems, I know all this, everyone's rolling their eyes, whatever. There's a bottle brush out the front of our house that houses about 600
lorikeets.
Noisy miners.
Oh, noisy miners.
And they've become very aggressive, so much so they almost ate Harry yesterday.
Oh, I'd be pot-shotting at them.
Well, I wanted to buy a rifle.
They're not – they're what's pests. It called? Yeah, they're not native.
Do you know they were bought from England?
Of course they were.
To Melbourne markets to eradicate
rats
something.
Oh.
And then they just went, fuck, this is great.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's so warm.
You can hear them now.
It's so warm here.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So now they've gone to dive bombing anyone that visits our house, including.
Oh, I'd be spraying that tree with water constantly, a couple of times a day.
Oh, anyway. So when the cat goes out the front, they all just go off their tits like.
We've got a resident currawong in our backyard.
I don't mind that.
I know. It's really lovely. Although I'm a little bit miffed that it's not a magpie because I kind of rate magpies above currawongs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it comes, it swoops through our back veranda a couple of times. It's quite nice knowing you have a bird that's
yours.
Its home is in your, you know.
We've also got a couple of bush turkeys that I'd rather do without. But you know when I was
we're
a little
we're talking about birds, kid. Mrs. Luke.
Oh, well, at least we're not talking about the weather.
True. I need to open a door though. I'm getting a bit hot.
Yeah, open that one there.
I'll open that one.
When I was a little kid, I used to barrack for the Western Sydney Magpies.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you've just locked it, darling.
They're not magpies anymore though, are they?
Ow. No, they're not anything anymore.
Are they?
No.
What's the Western Sydney team at? Oh, that breeze.
No, there's none.
Oh. Look at me keeping up to date with.
right.
Moving right along.
Moving right along.
What's on your list?
I didn't mine's really.
Mine's slow walkers and birds.
Yeah.
Hashtag peak old lady situation status reached.
No, I'm.
Something must have pissed you off.
Something must have pissed me off. Normally I go off on a real rant. I really can't remember.
Don't be balanced.
I know,
that's
right?
That's just boring.
I actually think I was too tired.
Okay, something I want to talk about, which we were going to talk about last week.
Yes.
You got on the scales for the first time in a while recently.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So why did you do that?
So I was up at Cerebral Palsy Alliance with Oscar for his regular review of his gym program. And they weighed him and I looked at the scales and they were like, they were wide, like they were full on industrial because people will be in wheelchairs
yeah,
and stuff,
of course.
Right?
So they weigh the wheelchair and they put you on the wheelchair and then they deduct it.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
And so I thought, those scales are going to be really accurate. So I got on and I just, well, they were accurate, all right.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you and all of our beautiful listeners.
Yes.
Don't ever get on a scale.
I know.
Just don't. Don't.
I know.
Because you and I were just upstairs before having our sheet time and we're talking about our scrawny arms and our scrawny legs.
Yes.
And then we've got all this fat in between our neck and our the hips.
We're going to have joint liposuction and put it all on our butt.
And then you can't talk to yourself like that.
No.
It's just not
and
good.
I think I really did bottom out around the SBS thing and I've kind
of... So that was when we were on Insight, so yes, maybe a month or two ago.
Yeah. And then...
when they shot us from the side. Illegal.
From the side.
Illegal.
And caught every facial movement and expression we made.
I never knew I had three chins.
Well, I didn't know I had... No chin and no neck. It just all blended down into my boobs.
Let's stop it.
But this runs very deep and we touched on this on the actual in the Facebook group where there are a lot of women who have been very traumatized and very, very damaged by things that have been said to them and done to them.
As they were children.
When they were children about their weight and their body. And I think it's really interesting because a lot of us now have children at around the ages where it really fully started for us.
Yep.
And some of that body dysmorphia stuff is just seems to be inherent in some people's brains,
yeah,
like just about how they see themselves and how they
compare themselves
and then couple that with social media and just influencers who I have so they're who you're on my list, all influencers. I don't care who you are. If your official title is an influencer,
you're an idiot. I just, like, imagine being that up yourself.
Yes.
That you would say, I'm an influencer.
I know. Do you know that, model companies now have whole sections which are just managing influencers? This is what is wrong with our society, people. Oh, look, I found what was on my list. But my shrink, who was really like, okay, this is actual trauma, so we're going to unpack this. But just now, our session was about to end, he said, these were hurtful things said to you by a toxic person.
Absolutely.
A long time ago, full stop. And it was really interesting because it was such a simple statement, but it takes it completely off you. Makes it completely about the other person, which your rational brain has been doing for decades. You know, that was all about her, not about me. But to sort of have that language around it has been very helpful.
Yeah. And even I look at my kids now and and I have been concerned that they have chubbed up on certain particular occasions. And I'm like, oh, But then 2 days later, they will grow a foot.
Yeah.
And it's just part of being growing.
It's just part of puberty.
It's just, you know, and some people are ectomorphs, some people are endomorphs, and it just depends. But
what are they? They sound like
ectomorphs,
sea animals.
Ectomorphs are someone like my mother-in-law is an ectomorph. She can eat like Big Macs every day all her life and never put on weight. And
right.
And there's endomorphs like me, and I look at a cheeseburger and I'm like, bloop.
Yeah. Bloop.
But that doesn't make one better than the other.
No.
It's just what we are.
It's just how we're made.
So don't give your kids a hard time about their bodies.
No. Oh, my God. Please, please don't.
Please don't. Just, you know, you just want them to be happy.
Yeah. And I actually, because I know Grovey's quite body conscious and Felix was at the same age because they're both of a particular body type.
Endomorphs.
Whereas Jasper.
Ectomorph.
An ectomorph. Mm. And so we sort of have always talked about how, you know, how handsome he is and how, you know, how great he looks and how smart he is, yeah, and, you know, that he's a whole package, you know. And then we've talked a lot about healthy eating and about finding foods that are delicious and that you love but that are also good for your body. And that sometimes there's stuff
like that packet of Tim Tams that you bought
That packet of Tim Tams I brought over to get out of my house. Yes, that's right. But that also there's really yummy things that are really not very good for you, but that you just have every now and then because they're so delicious. Oh, right?
And you shouldn't deprive yourself.
No, exactly, right? And it's been a real journey.
Are we like Weight Watcher influencers?
I know, we are influencers. Anyway, he voluntarily
influenced by us. I swear to God, if I give you any piece of advice in the world,
like, don't do what we do.
Do not be influenced by us in the slightest, because you will just be a big hot red mess.
Yes. Anyway, for most of last term, he just was like, "Can I take some carrot sticks and stuff for recess?" And now he takes a mid-sized sort of container full of carrot, cucumber, capsicum, celery, and he has that for recess, and then he has a roll or whatever I've given him. And I'm like, I said to him the other week, I said, you know, that shows real maturity, that you know that that food's tasty, it's crunchy and it's sweet, and it's, but that it's really putting the nutrients into your body. And as you grow through puberty.
Last time you came, bought me a packet of Honey Jumbles.
Do you remember the last time I came over before that where I bought
8 cheeseburgers?
Like 8 cheeseburgers. And then the time before that when I bought the baked goods from Staple,
yes,
but then also called in and got some lollies.
Do
and
as she some, says, you know, not as she does,
yeah,
my friends out
correct
there.
Oh, you know that. You know,
anyway, just fucking throw your scales out. That's the end
throw
of that.
Throw the scales out. Just try. Anyway, so now I'm just trying to
eat well. You know what I do?
I've
just
well.
Got a pair of jeans and I put them on and I go, yeah, good paddock.
Oh, they're the good paddock jeans?
And I just run around the block another few times. Yeah, you just do it by your clothes.
Yes.
It's the best way.
Yeah, but my problem is I have the clothes and then they get too tight and I can't bring myself to buy the bigger clothes.
No.
So then I try to flog myself to get back into the smaller clothes, which of course never works because you just hate yourself and you just therefore seek comfort in alcohol and food.
Buy better clothes.
Why do you think I live in so much Jersey? new favourite.
Okay, I've got to quickly say Emily in Paris, Netflix, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's
so
watching it and I just watched it and I was like, this is shit. And then I just got addicted to it.
No. Every review of it is just how bad it is and how appalling it is.
Dreadful.
That it's basically like a 1990s attitude put into a 2020, like.
Oh, it's dreadful, but I watched it.
Oh, God. Really? I went back last night to start watching the third series of Vikings. I watched the first two back to back. That was like really in my wank bank for a very long time.
Never watched it.
It's very brutal.
Yeah, but no, not interested.
Just lots of rapey, hot Viking Nordic men, really.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, that was quite good. Grover and I watched a barbecue competition show on Netflix, which was fantastic. And there was a guy whose name I now can't remember. This is a great recollection. It was interesting. It got down to the final. Oh, no, I won't tell you. That's spoiler alert. and also there's a new chef's – I don't know if it's new. There's a chef's table out that's about barbecue and there is this story about this woman.
Are you
Tootsie.
Secretly being sponsored by a barbecue company
you know,
this
right?
season?
Well, this is the whole thing with Grovey. You know, your kid gets into something and then suddenly you're watching all this play. But there was an episode of that chef's table about this woman who is in her 80s, I think, who get – like she's regarded as one of the best or the best barbecue in Texas. And her name's Tootsie. And she's
if I had a baby, I would call it Tootsie.
I know. Tootsie. Toots. Hey, Toots. Mr. Woog.
Mr. Woog.
With a tire.
Actually, we're going to have a quick break.
Yes.
And we're coming back to you. We're going to talk about resilience.
Oh, goodness. Okay. We can do that.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to that short ad break from no one who sponsors us.
Well, that's not entirely their fault, is it? Because we did have that chat with Wooshka and then we kind of never really did anything.
Yeah, and we had that chat with the business coach and then we kind of never did anything.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's just look back on that later.
Right, anyway, welcome back to our favourite segment of the show.
Yes.
Where we talk about a topic that you guys want to talk about. And this week we're talking about resilience. And why are we talking about that, Kim?
Well, you were just telling me that you've not been feeling very resilient.
No, I'm not. I'm very sensitive at the moment.
Yeah.
And that's been pointed out to me by quite a few people.
Really?
A few people have made me cry recently. Oh. And I don't wish to be a victim. I don't want to be a Suki Lala. I actually want to be tough like you. So
let's talk about tough. Jesus,
yes,
you know
are.
Me.
You've been like through hell and back and you've bounced back better than anyone I've ever met. So
yes, but I have a lot of – and this actually ties into something Alison talks about this actually in the group.
If you're not in the group, please join the Hot Flush podcast group on Facebook.
Yes.
It's where all the good people are.
All the good people. I think it's a skill set. Resilience is a skill set. And Alison talks about how people seem to think it's a trait. You know, you're a resilient person. And and that if you're not, then somehow that's a deficit. Whereas she's like, it's a skill set. It can be taught and it doesn't matter what age you are. You can sort of learn those skills.
And what are the skills?
Oh, I think it really depends on each individual person, because some things that will upset you and make you burst into tears will for someone else just be like why are you worrying about that?
Yeah, exactly.
And different tools and techniques work for different people.
Yeah, right.
And one of the people in the group, Kate, she talks about, I love this so much and I'm totally stealing it. She has a lion, Lucius, who walks beside her. And when she has detractors or people who are, you know, yeah, detractors.
Yeah.
Lucius roars at them for her.
I love that.
Is that not the best thing ever?
I want a Lucius.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, for all of those times, particularly when we're going into, for me, that is perfect for when I, you know, am going into an interview or I'm going to do something which I'm sort of apprehensive about and I'm like, oh, I don't know enough and I haven't done enough reading and I'm going to have a Lucius beside me roaring away, just telling me that I can do it.
Yeah, that's why I need a bit more fuck you in my life because...
Yeah, fuck you's good.
And I think the problem is that when you're an empath,
yes,
which I am very much so, and I just want to make everyone happy around me.
Yes.
And so I'm really bad at confrontation.
Yeah.
So when it's brought up to me, I run. And I run and then I'll ponder over it and I'll ponder over it. And it's exhausting.
Yeah. Another really helpful tool that I use is to actually talk to someone about it.
Yeah, right.
So if I'm really worried about... or if I'm feeling really affected by someone or something someone has said, then I'll talk to Rob about it or I'll talk to you or like a friend or someone about it. And it's that whole thing like, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved. It's as soon as you articulate it and so long as you have a good listener who's you're telling as opposed to a fixer, like a listener.
That's an interesting one too, a fixer versus a listener.
That can really... you just feel better. Yeah. You're just not carrying it around in you anymore. Yeah. And I think...
well, like, I've seen my mum come through a pretty rough patch now and now she's got more of a take no shit attitude.
Right.
And so I think it's been really good for her. So I'm trying to sort of work out how I can be more like that.
Yeah, I reckon Dogs and Grog's going to do it for you. I'm putting a lot on that group, let me tell you, already. Because you get together with people, you meet, you chat, you talk. The same thing happened at baseball on Saturday. There was four women there and the four of us.
And they don't know your background. They don't know your story. They don't know your history. They don't know your troubles.
And the stories within that group of four women were just far out. And one of them said to me, like just before we were all heading off, she says, I don't even know you. And like, we've just shared these stories. And it's like, whatever it takes.
Well, I met someone yesterday at a social gathering, Dr. Catherine, who's going to come on the show soon. She's a very interesting lady. And it was the same with her. Like, I just felt like I'd known her for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I just – I don't know.
I think – because Rob says to me quite often –
This is the Me Show, by the way, in case you haven't listened.
I think Rob said to me the other day, he goes, I love how wherever we go you end up just – connecting with someone and talking. He goes, that is such a skill.
But I always get that because I met someone at the nail bar this week who's also now become my best friend.
Yeah.
And we were only there for half an hour next to each other and I knew her whole story.
Yep.
And she goes, I can't believe I've only just met you. And I said, well, I know all about me. Like, I don't want to talk about me. I'm boring.
Okay, so back to some readers' experiences. Donna talks about finding her resilience in her villages. ABA, I don't know what that is, local theatre community, long-term workmates, fellow unionists. Oh, so maybe the ABA is a union, Australian
something. Broadcasting Association.
Okay.
You know, I like to make these things.
But she said, people who are kind and care about the collective well-being. She said, this group is like that too.
Oh, that's
They
right.
surrounded me with love when my son died and continue to support me when I get low, shit. While giving me the freedom to continue to be me, even after such a devastating life-changing event. Ugh. And then Bernadette, you know, reinforces that as well, saying she had a terrible divorce and then her eldest son passed away.
Oh, God.
And she said, but 12 months later, my mum and I are still standing. I'm definitely not the same person and accept that some days are just shit and so sad, but I'm surrounded by my tribe who really care.
See, and then I feel shit because, like, I'm feeling shit for no particular reason and there's people that have
But you see, this is the thing. It's all valid. And I think some people, yes, you can be – really, your resilience can be really shaken by a major life event, but you also, it can be the whole, you know, trickle effect too, that we're all riding off the back of a really tough year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean.
And I keep going back to that thing we talked about a few weeks ago, that healing isn't linear.
I know, right?
Oh, that has stuck with me.
I know. And don't you just, I can't remember who said it. It was one of the women in the group. And I use it all the time.
Yeah.
And people just go, she's a smarty pants, isn't she? She knows what she's talking about.
You use that. This is 20 years of therapy talking.
Janelle talks about that she found the limit of her resilience this week because it resulted in the closing of her family daycare business.
Oh.
But Rach says to her, you always – oh, she said, I'm disappointed, but now it's time for me to focus on my health. And Rach says to her, you always come first. The old saying is true. You can't pour from an empty cup.
God, these women are bloody brilliant.
I know, right?
Why wouldn't you bottle them?
I just wrote that down because I'm like, that is – and I think that's when a lot of women in day-to-day life, that's when our resilience is worn down, is
yeah.
the fact that our cup is not getting – replenished and refilled,
yeah.
and we just reach a point where we've got the cup upside down, and there's nothing
like,
coming out.
I fucking don't even care. Like, you know, when you get to that point, that like having a shower seems exhausting.
Yeah, Sharon says sometimes you need to stop fighting and pushing and accept that stopping is the best thing you
can
do.
Yeah, that's very good
advice,
Sharon.
Take time out,
thank
nourish
you.
Your body and mind however you want to and just use the downtime to just be. Sometimes it's all the noise that gets in the way
yes.
of rebuilding. That's where you're at,
fucking oath. That's where I'm at.
I reckon.
Like, all my creativity is gone. All my confidence in writing is gone. Like,
yep.
all of it.
Yep. And you just got to...
I just feel done.
Yeah. And I think that's okay. You can just sit with that for a while.
Yeah, okay. This conversation's been very good so far.
Right. Look, Jackie talks about an incident when she was 20 and her mum had a full breakdown. She'd gone through a divorce. She'd gone back to, you know, gone from being a at-home mum, 80s wannabe tycoon, mortgage when interest rates were 17%. And then she just heard her screaming one morning and she was just on a bed sobbing, saying, it's all too hard. And she said, I hugged her and made a coffee and she pulled her shit together and went to work. We never spoke of it again. Now,
that's pretty powerful.
When my mum and dad broke up, mum did that in the middle of our kitchen floor, which was packing up the house. And so it was in the summer break between year six and year seven. And I remember just hearing her just screaming, and I ran down the hallway, and she's just in the kitchen with this massive chef's knife, this rusty chef's knife, just holding it up to her neck, just going, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. It's too much. So I ran away and made it all about me.
Fuck. Jesus.
Yeah. And then of course.
Do we want to leave that left unsolved or?
So then of course she, you know, it was never talked about again. Oh, I think afterwards she reassured me that she would never, you know.
You can see why someone would get to that point though.
Oh my God. Yeah. And
like you actually do lose your marbles at times.
Yeah. And I think it actually meant that with me and the boys, I'm always very conscious of letting them see me lose it.
Yeah.
I need them to see that it's normal for someone to just hit a wall and just lose it and then own it.
Yeah.
I'll own it and, you know.
I do. I come back and apologise for my shitty behaviour at times.
Louise says, I will get through anything to set a good example for my kids. Yeah. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have them to fight for. Yes, but that's a little bit of a – it could be a bit of a hiding to nowhere. Like so long as you are actually breaking down and not being resilient all the time and showing your kids that you're human and not an automaton, then I think that's really – that's really important. You don't want to be a mum-bot. And then this is Alison's comment, which I think was really interesting. Resilience is a tricky word. Some people think of it as a character trait, as in you either have it or you don't. What if you don't bounce back? Is that your fault? Is there something the matter with you? I think we need to think about resilience in terms of self-care. It's okay to not be okay. Resilience is a blaming word, if you ask me. So that's really interesting.
I like that too.
Yeah, right?
So you just reframe the word.
Yeah, yeah. And then Jay responds to that saying, it can be a skill set that can be taught to help people grow and to stop people taking their own lives. And she works in community mental health. And I think, you know, I really – she actually gives a link there to smilingmind.com.au.
That's a good app. It's a good app.
Yeah, yeah. Someone says, why can't we fall apart and not be ashamed or feel guilty? And I think – yeah, I think – and but that – in a way, that starts to become a choice.
Mm.
If you feel guilty about it, you're – like now I sort of reached a point where I went, no, like I really – was at the end of my rope and I had, you know, let's say it's at home and you've just broken because of just housework and cooking and the mindless soul-killing relentlessness of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and those few things that you ask your kids to do and they just don't do it and you just lose it.
Yeah.
And they just – and I think it's really important. It's really important that you when you reach that point, like sometimes you can't – I just – you know, I don't know. I don't think there's – I don't think you can sit down every time and go, now, boys, and just...
Mummy's feeling tired
today. I'm very angry. Although I have got better in that I'm like, I need you boys to know that on a scale of me being fine to me being an absolute homicidal raging lunatic, I'm at about an 8 at that end of the scale. And now we're at a point where they kind of go, okay. And off they go. But anyway, yeah.
We're all learning. It never ends. Give me that baby again, that six-month-old baby you were snuggling. Christ. What a happy time.
Alicia says, I cover resilience to rejection, disappointment, etc. in one of my training modules for my Work Ready program for young job seekers in my mature job seeker program. Okay, Alicia. I'm glad it's getting taught. That's good. And particularly to mature job seekers, because that might be people who haven't had a job for a long time.
Yeah.
And young people, they've got no idea.
Oh, God, and with the budget that's just being passed.
Oh,
don't even start. Don't start, McKim.
Okay, I'm looking. What do you do? What are some things that you do to pull yourself out of the rut?
Well, I had a couple of wins last week. I think, again, about trying to rebuild my professional confidence, as I had a couple of really positive meetings which gave me like a really good purpose to keep going, which then in turn made me creative again. I think stop putting things off for me is my big problem is, you know, just get onto it. Like just do it and sit down with an empty page and then stop thinking about what people want you to want to read and start writing what you want to write. That is probably where I'm at.
Right.
Yeah, trying to please people. I shouldn't be. I never did that before.
No.
Like I always just did it for me. And now I'm like trying to please an audience.
No, don't do that. That's boring. Well, because the whole reason, the whole reason everyone loves reading what you write is because it's what you write.
It was uncensored, but it's become censored. I don't know why. I think there's just too much going on.
Yeah, and it's changed though. It's a different environment now to what it was 8 years ago.
Yeah, oh, totally. But still, like, I can't put photos of myself up on like an Instagram with a poignant message underneath because it's so fake.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you should do a satire account. Like do like a midlife influencer. Holy shitballs, that'd be so funny.
That would be fun.
Oh my God.
Okay, let's workshop that after this podcast.
Sally is basically, I think, me. She says, I've learned over the years, thanks to therapy in both conventional and non-conventional formats. I'd love to know what non-conventional formatting is for therapy. Sounds like nudity and teepees.
You'd love that.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I would, because internally I'd just be love-hating it, you know. That when the black dog shows up for me, I need to sit in it and allow it to be while still going about some form of basic daily routine. We know, we both know about that, don't we? I found that it passes more quickly than if I fight it, and we never see our own best qualities.
Yep.
I'm lucky to have a handful of lovely humans around me who affirm to me that I'm one of the most tenacious people they know, and they understand that when I'm really struggling with what life, that it's about my pride and wanting to get through on my own. Clang.
Wow. I started crying then. Wow.
When those women show up for me.
So tough.
When those women show up for me, I bawl my eyes out and sleep, and tomorrow is always a new day. One day at a time has been my mantra, and when it all gets too hard, and sometimes 1 hour at a time is what I need to focus on. And when I find myself unable to make a decision, I always ask myself, what is the best thing for my son? When he always has come, he has always come first since my separation 8 years ago. He's almost 19 now, and I still use this technique. So yeah, I don't know, that's making Wigsy cry.
I know.
I love this, Adele. Same here. After a nasty breakup, I gave myself permission to be miserable, to eat pizza and ice cream, and wallow in sorrow, but to put a time limit on that.
Yes, well, that's always been
3 months, if I recall, and then I was ready to dust myself off and move on. Fuck you, women are awesome.
Oh, amazing. How clever.
I know, right? I love Jackie's as well. Just don't overthink it. I'm like Dory. Just keep swimming. And yeah, that's true. Like that's one of my little mantras too. I've got a handful, you know, and they're just – but just keep swimming is one of them. Yeah. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. That was me last week actually. So much going on in my head. I was like, just keep swimming. Write lists. Just keep swimming. No wonder I fell over in a heap on the weekend. Christine's having a tough time with a 21-year-old with multiple health issues and a 17-year-old with mental health issues.
Oh, shit.
And she said, I don't know how I pick myself up. I just do. I know without me they probably wouldn't cope, so I just get up and keep going every single day. Netflix comedies have been my saviour this year.
Oh, same. God, thank God. What would we do without Netflix this year?
I know. I know.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so a lot of these we're all talking about a lot of the same things about Lucy talks about she does some breathing techniques and meditation. She journals her feelings and then she asks herself, what can I learn from this? I think that's a really Bushwalks, swims in the ocean and lying on the couch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do. I get up every morning and I walk. And I look at things and I take photos of things.
Yeah.
And I smell roses. Like I do. Yeah. I am that person that will stop and talk to someone with a baby and, you know, just everyone thinks I'm quite nutty, I'm sure, but I'm okay with that because I know the truth that I actually am.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Julia says, when things are rubbish, if I remember to break things down into one day at a time, my world is so much easier. I am a stewer, a worrier, a catastrophizer.
Oh, hello. Welcome to my club.
But if I consciously contain my focus on small amounts of time, it helps me to stay within something manageable. I also seek lots of input to give myself perspective from people I trust and from people online who write and talk about resilience, vulnerability and emotional growth. I think that as I get older, every time I get through something crap, I come back better. And baking. Baking gets me through all.
Oh,
yes, Julia.
That's yes. Kim's answer to everything.
But you're right. Do you remember the thing they talk about, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yeah.
That's it, really. You know, you could probably find a less gross image. Because I, of course, then focus on what like a raw elephant would taste like.
Would just taste like pig fat. I made you gag! Oh, woohoo!
Holy smokes, that's just terrible. Oh.
Cold pig fat. That's about 4 weeks old.
Oh, God. You made me just lose my place. Okay. Yeah. So, look. That'll do.
I've got a lot to process there, darling. Yeah. Thank you so much, guys. You're just fucking awesome. And you're awesome to each other.
And everyone should just go and just have a long, like, just spend some time with that feed.
Yeah, there's a lot of good nuggets in there.
Because we all come at this from, as I said earlier, we all come at it from different angles.
And everybody has it to different degrees. So if you're a bit of a sookie lala like me, you do take things to heart.
Yeah.
But that's who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I just got to learn to roll with the punches a bit more. But I'm not going to change who I am. I've just got to learn to deal with it a bit better.
So our friend Sarah, friend of the podcast, Sarah, says...
I love friends of the podcast.
Friends of the podcast. I always think resilience falls into the same bucket as self-care. Overused and misunderstood. Kim's fall down 99, get up 100. It's actually fall down 7, rise up 8 because, Jesus, if I'm up at 99, there she goes in brackets, can't remember her numbering system, is probably the best advice. Moving onwards, however wonky it looks, can be as simple as getting out of bed and hoping for a nice coffee and that's enough.
I think that's a wonderful place to stop this week. Yeah. I think that... that was mind-blowing. I absolutely got so much out of all your suggestions. Thank you. I very rarely make this show about me, Kim. But it was all about me this week. And there was the love and compassion is just outstanding.
I know, right?
I love this job. It pays me fuck all. But I turn up every week along with Kim because we just absolutely adore sharing this with
you. It brings so much meaning to our world.
So I am looking forward to having coffee with some friends on Wednesday.
Nice.
I'm going to Dog and Grog on Friday.
I can't wait to report back on Dog and Grog.
Next week I'll report back on Dog and Grog. And we're having the Bledisloe Cup again at my house with the footy team, which was so fun. Honestly, watching them watch the football was more fun than watching the football. It was so much fun. So well done on Victorian kids going back to school. I know that the older ones aren't back yet, but we are thinking of you constantly. And even my friend Sam Sparks, who's the sparkliest, most peppy person I've ever met, lost it this week. She said, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are thinking of you. I think that's it from me.
I think that's it from me.
And as we like to say,
just keep plucking.